We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m. And if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, yes. House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the TikTok and Google Plus. In this episode, we'll be putting you up on a mother in Philadelphia just received a $2 million settlement and is now going after the Fraternal Order of Police. And Old Town is looking forward with businesses returning.
Also, this weekend, there was not just a rally in D.C., but one right here in Salem, Oregon, seeking medical freedom. Mm. And Oregon reports 2,099 new COVID cases.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it. Beaten and maligned by police, a Philadelphia mom seeks justice over a thin blue lie. A Philadelphia mom whose child was ripped from her car by police amid a Black Lives Matter protest last year has filed suit against the National Fraternal Order of Police for casting her as an unfit mother and exploiting her child for thin blue line propaganda. The lawsuit seeks damages for invasion of privacy and intentional infliction of emotional distress. The case stems from a shocking incident of police violence last October that itself followed the police killing of Walter Wallace Jr., a young man experiencing a mental health crisis who cops shot after he allegedly lunged at them with a knife. That shooting set off mass protests as well as incidents of vandalism and looting late into the night of October 26. After midnight, Rakia Young received a phone call from her nephew asking for a ride out of the unrest in the neighborhood. Young, a home health care aide who was 28 at the time, put her young son in the car and soon picked up her nephew without incident. But as she drove her usual route home to North Philadelphia, Young found the streets were blocked by police and protesters. As Young was attempting to execute a U-turn to avoid the protests, more than a dozen police officers suddenly swarmed around the vehicle. Without provocation, they began smashing the windows of the SUV with baton blows before yanking both Rakia and her teenager from the car. Cops proceeded to beat Rakia in the street until she was bloody and then detained her. Police separated Rakia from her child, who was taken into custody for hours. She was later released without charges because she'd done nothing wrong. This week, the city of Philadelphia agreed to pay a $2 million settlement to Young, compensation for having been, in the surprising words of the Philadelphia police chief, formerly of Portland, Chief Daniel Outlaw, terrorized by cops who violated the mission of the Philadelphia Police Department. The city's mayor, Jim Kenney, denounced the police violence against Young as absolutely appalling. Two officers in this incident have reportedly been fired, and many others are facing disciplinary proceedings. Now Rakia is suing the National Fraternal Order of Police, which bills itself as the number one voice of America's law enforcement, in Philadelphia County Court for its conduct on social media in the aftermath of that incident. The NFOP is not strictly a union, as its 350,000 members include non-union officers, but it wields clout, not unlike the NRA. It lobbies Congress on behalf of cops and gave Donald Trump its proud and enthusiastic endorsement in 2020, praising his commitment to law and order. When Rakia's child was photographed in the arms of a female police officer, NFOP attempted to turn the image into a PR win for police. NFOP posted the image to Facebook with the following caption, none of which was true. This child was lost during the violent riots in Philadelphia, wandering around barefoot in an area that was experiencing complete lawlessness. The only thing this Philadelphia police officer cared about in that moment was protecting this child. We are not your enemy. We are the thin blue line, and we are the only thing standing between order and anarchy. Similar posts were allegedly put out on the NFOP's Twitter and Instagram. The suit alleges the NFOP intentionally and with malice portrayed Ms. Young's son as a neglected and abandoned child in order to promote its own political agenda. It further contends that the NFOP portrayed Young in a false light by implying that she was an unfit mother who was unaware of the location of her child, when in reality, the child was taken from Ms. Young's vehicle while she was being beaten by the police after they smashed all the windows on her car and violently yanked her from it. The NFOP did not respond to a request seeking the group's perspective on the substance of the lawsuit. In a press conference with her attorneys on Tuesday, Rakia said she hoped to hold the NFOP accountable for what they did to us. She added, "For them to portray me as this type of mom who wouldn't know or care where her child was while chaos was happening all around was very hurtful." Young also blasted the NFOP for what she calls its efforts to promote a political message of fear of black people and civil protesters. Kevin Mincy, one of Young's lawyers, called out NFOP for pushing the claim that the police offer society protection from anarchy and calling it disgusting when you consider that it was the NFOP's rank-and-file members who caused the chaos that night and essentially kidnapped Ms. Young's son and created conditions that they characterized as a riot. Mincy vowed that the suit would ensure the NFOP's abhorrent behavior would not be swept under the rug, adding, "We're eager and prepared to prove our case to a Philadelphia jury." I remember when this popped off, and I was like, I did not see a lawsuit in the works in my head because, you know, so often these things happen and there is no justice, whether it's, you know, any type of financial compensation or just the right people being fired, starting there before we even get to charging the officers with anything. But the video was just, it's so wild. I don't know if you've seen it and any of our listeners have seen it. Like, you see her approaching this area and there's heavy police presence. It's like 50 cops out there because they're the wall. Mm-hmm. It's like a half a block from everything that's going on. And a couple of the cops like motion for her to turn around. And the second she starts doing it, it's like watching ants swarm to something. They all just piled on the car and just immediately. And I'm like, what is, if there is no clearer sense that they move with the mob mentality, I don't know what people need. Right. What else people need to see? Like, it was just, and like no one, not even the people that were like, not even the officers that were like, "We told her to turn around." Like, no one stepped up. And then when I saw the photo of the white female police officer holding the child, I initially didn't tie the two together. I just saw this image somewhere. I was like, "Oh, this is wild." And then to find out this is the baby that was in the car that y'all like that's wild. That's so wild.
And the wild part of that is that I saw the photo of the cop and the child, did not see the video of the car incident. And again, to see the way that was tied, like the caption that they used though.
Man.
Like, as a parent, minding my business, not doing anything.
Right.
This scenario to happen, and then this is what gets thrown out.
I mean,
but it just cycles back to, you know, this being an organization that has been able to say and do whatever. Like, this is a clear example of saying whatever.
Yep.
On a public platform.
Yep. Yep.
So the boldness of doing this on a public platform, what do you think is being done with paperwork?
Right. Right. And it does suck that the $2 million is being paid by the city. It's not, you know, the officers aren't being required. The fraternal order of police aren't being required. They never are required to pay those suits. It's always the city. It's always the citizens that are paying, you know, in these situations. And I was really, really hyped to see her lawyers be like, "Oh no, we're taking a separate suit directly to the FOP." Every because time. This is a layup. I mean, there's no justification. None for the post. None. None. It's completely fabricated. Also, what are you doing? What are you doing? Putting somebody's child, like, what are you doing?
And then to take the picture, like, you took a picture and then put on the interwebs.
Right.
The World Wide Web.
The World Wide Webs. It's been...
This wasn't Dot Phil.
No, right. Some like underground Reddit or dark web post. No. Y'all put this on y'all Instagram and then, you know, on Twitter and then deleted it as if you don't. Well, maybe y'all don't know how the internet works. You know, a little slow, you know. But yeah, like, wow, man. Wow. So I'm going to definitely follow this, not only because it's a Philly story, hometown, but yeah, I want to see the FOP pay some serious consequences.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Definitely interested in with that. Once that ball gets a rolling and comes to the stop, what it's going to be.
Yeah, and cases like this set judicial precedent, so it's important. Yes. It is important.
That part, as the youth say.
Well, businesses returned to Portland's old town with hopes of revitalizing the neighborhood. Businesses in Portland's old town are eager for traffic to return. Old Town Pizza and Brewing was shut down for the last 14 months. Owner Adam Milne said after a long period of uncertainty, his team was ready to come back. The day before we closed, we did around $17 in revenue. And so with paying staff, utilities, it was just breaking us. So we put a pause on things. We hoped we would reopen. Milne said it's a neighborhood that faced hurdles this year. Data through the Portland Police Bureau shows that crime spiked in June through August, with about 128 reported incidents each month. It's definitely a factor. At one of my other locations, I did need to call 911, and it took 5 minutes for the call to go through. So I think a lot of businesses are having to rely on other resources other than the police department, Mill said. Rex Wang is reopening the old dirty nightclub at Spark Lounge. After two successful soft opening weekends, he's hopeful private security and nightlife crowds will curb crime. There's not really a lot in this city, so I kind of want to bring more businesses down here so that way it'll bring more traffic and kind of just revitalize Chinatown and help out. You know, make the entertainment district again, Wang said. For Milne, he wasn't ready to give up the decades of history at his restaurant. The business lost a lot of money over the last year and a half, but we wanted to weather the storm and be back. This means a lot to me, to keep the legacy going, so giving up wasn't an option, Milne said.
I mean, I get it. I get it. Business and commerce must continue. There's a holiday season not too far around the corner. I definitely get it. I just... Much like anything else you sweep under the rug until the issues that put us where we are today are, you know, are handled and tackled head on. I'm not sure how much things are going to turn around. Like, seriously.
It seems that in general, you know, regardless of numbers of rather it's crime, it's COVID. Yeah. For the most part, more and more people are like, eh, it's old.
I'm over it.
Past it.
I'll allow it.
I will allow it. And Rex, you know, maybe onto something, changing the name.
And LA, yeah.
You know, bringing it back as Spark. I see what you did there, sir. We gonna see, because I mean, it's not like there's moments where I feel like we're in the minority and thinking a lot when I go outside to do like errands and I happen to pass by places that, you know, are open to a lot of people.
Right.
People are out peopling.
Hard.
Yeah. Like hardcore.
Yeah. And hardcore peopling.
In like shoulder to shoulder people in.
Bruh.
And I don't, and the thing that runs through my mind, a couple of things right quick.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, vaccination hit a lot of people, you know, did their thing. Not nearly enough people. Nope. But a lot of people. Got out there and got the pokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people, quite a few people who have had COVID. So feeling that they've weathered that storm and
yeah.
They're here to fight another season.
Which is crazy. I had it. I don't need the vaccine.
Yeah. That. Because it's not It's not cure, vaccine, two different things first.
Right. Right.
Throw that out there, people. And I mean, I've not seen a comparison like the chicken pox, right? Like you get the chicken pox, for the most part, you're good. I don't know anybody that's double back, and if they did, it's usually shingles in the older age.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if that's maybe part of the mentality. I've had it once, essentially a superhuman at this point.
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting.
And it's this is proven to not be. And I'm going to give a quick little story because one of my partners, who is very against this vaccine.
Why?
Very against the idea of let's be inside, right? He's an outside again.
Okay.
Outside all in. Outside again. And, you know, he was definitely echoing for a while a lot of the bull that we've heard over the time and ended up catching COVID, you know, down for his 2 weeks or so, still felt like, okay, I'm back. About a month later, and by a month later, I mean just this past week, ends up in the hospital, hit him up to find out what exactly happened. One of his lungs had partially collapsed. Finds out when he's talking to the doctor after everything that the COVID had did a number on the lungs and he had a lot of scarring and stuff going on inside of there, which kind of led into why his issue existed. And the doctor, you know, let him know, like, you know, whatever you feel about the vaccine and so on is what you feel, but just understand the state that you're in. If you happen to catch COVID again,
it might be a wrap.
That might be a wrap.
Ooh.
And again, no, he didn't hit it as a, you need to do it because of this, sir.
Right.
But just understand this. And once that was broken down, like, whole change of heart. And now he's, you know, now communicating after we talked quite a bit in depth, of, you know, after that happened and he kind of broke it down. It was like, yeah, this is not what I thought it was. And seeing what this did to me and really having to grapple, thinking I was about to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I got to go talk to the homies and let them know, whatever you're talking about, get that out of here. Because even catching it and getting back to doing what you're doing, you don't know what that did to you internally.
That long COVID.
Yeah. So that was just a, you know, brief little pocket in there of people that didn't take it serious and then seeing how this, you know, can play out possibly.
I mean, that's a really strong, and I think, statement to pinpoint. This isn't what I thought it was. Like, I think, you know, that might be a good way to reapproach the conversation with people in our lives. Like, what do you think this is? What are the facts that you're moving with? What's the information that you're moving with? How's your research going?
Not because Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend got big balls. And now infertile and marriage called off.
She legit is like, I'm going to do my research and get back to you guys. However, I am about to go on tour, so I'm going to get vaccinated. Because I can't make this money without getting...
She closed out that tweet, opened up Reddit, like,
Right.
Research time.
Yeah. Super wild. Super wild, folks. Man, so
not as wild as this.
Not as wild as this. Roughly 1,000 people gathered in Salem for the Medical Freedom Rally. I don't know how we missed. I didn't see a flyer about this and nothing. Medical freedom. Hundreds of people rallied in Salem this past Saturday in a demonstration for medical freedom and in protest of the state's vaccine mandates. Large crowds gathered outside the Capitol building and along city streets. Participants held signs and messages that read, medical freedom and vaccine mandates are unconstitutional, among many other slogans. Salem police estimated about 1,000 people attended the rally and said it remained peaceful with no issues requiring police action. Governor Kate Brown has instituted the COVID-19 vaccine mandate for several groups of people, including K-12 educators, those who work in healthcare, and state employees in the executive branch. In some cases, weekly testing will be required as an alternative. after the Food and Drug Administration fully approved the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for use last month, the deadline to get vaccinated under the Oregon mandate is October 18th. In Washington, D.C., the Justice for J6 rally started and ended with tight security and small crowds. The most anticipated visit by right-wing activists to the nation's capital since a mob stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th ended quietly this past Saturday. Demonstrators supporting the rioters found themselves far outnumbered by police, journalists, and counter-protesters. The Capitol grounds, where poorly prepared police fought a losing hand-to-hand battle against President Trump supporters just over 8 months ago, were secured Saturday with metal fences and hundreds of officers. The halls of Congress were all but deserted. No president or former president delivered a speech insisting that his election loss be overturned. Police made just 4 arrests throughout the day, seizing 2 weapons. The relative peace and quiet was a welcome turn for the U.S. Capitol Police, whose leaders endured blistering criticism in the months after January 6th for inadequate security. In recent weeks, the agency had repeatedly warned that it would have a large force in the field, aided by police departments from across the region and the National Guard. The entire D.C. police force was activated Friday and Saturday. The massive law enforcement presence Saturday was unmistakable, with many in riot gear and others on horseback. As the evening approached, police remained concerned about the risk of clashes between pro-Trump protesters and others on a busy Saturday in Washington that included the annual 8th Street Festival in Northeast D.C., a Howard University football game, and a baseball game at Nationals Park. Counter-protesters held their own event about a mile away from the Capitol rally. Some wore black helmets, gas masks, and flak jackets. The rally's poor attendance came as no surprise and did not necessarily signal a weakening of attempts on the right to falsely recast the riot on January 6th as something less violent. Organizers of the Justice for J6 rally argued that many of the hundreds of people charged in connection with breaching the Capitol were not violent and were exercising their constitutional right to engage in political protest. Similar claims have been made by Trump and embraced by many of his supporters, including some Republican lawmakers. Dude, I saw some footage, it might have been on CNN, some coverage of them down there engaging with some of the ralliers. Mm-hmm. And this one dude was like, you know, there was no violence that even took place on January 6th. Like, that's all lies. It's all made up. No officers were injured. So then they're like, wait, so you didn't see the footage? He was like, show me this footage. Where's this footage? So they take a break from the interview and they show him the footage, and then they cut, they edit and come back to see him watching the footage. And he's like, yeah. And it was the footage of the cop being like smashed in the door. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, no one's hitting him. He can just back out of there. Like, you know, that's no reason for an assault charge. No one's actually assaulting him. He could just back.
This like, is for real?
Yo, dead serious. Dead serious, B. Like,
that live action role play is serious. They are committed to that character.
Super LARPing. Yes. They're here for it. They're here for it.
This J6. these supposed political prisoners, these Nelson Mandela-esque men and women that were only here upholding the greatness of these Americas are being put on trial for what?
They are political prisoners. They're prisoners of their own politics. You morons. I won't stand for it. I won't do it. They're so upset. Unhand my
democracy. Unhand me.
I am merely visiting the Capitol. Unhand.
I request one unhanding. right this instant.
You and you deliver one unhanding, both of you, immediately. You don't go somewhere. Y'all are wild. Y'all are so wild. Where is the reality?
What have several, sirs. Like, I don't get it, and I'm not supposed to.
They want to be taken so seriously. They want to be taken so seriously. Like,
could have just backed out of it.
Right. Nuts. Dude, I just can't. Listeners, we just can't. This has been going on for too long. Like, that we have to entertain conversations with people that are pretending that, you know what, they're not even pretending to pay attention. They are not paying attention, but they are pretending that their points are worth our time. I'm not, it's like arguing with a squirrel.
Where do they find these people? That'd be the thing.
If you're not dealing in reality, we have a language barrier from the rap. Period. Yeah. From the rap. Like, what are we talking
about? Reality is your second language, then.
Right. Reality is your second language. Oh, okay, cool. We don't need to talk. Okay.
Well, moving on. Oregon is reporting 2,099 new COVID cases and 22 more deaths. Mm. The Oregon Health Authority, OHA, reported 2,099 new confirmed and presumptive COVID-19 cases and 22 more deaths on Friday. There have been 309,841 COVID-19 cases and 3,569 deaths in Oregon. The OHA's latest COVID-19 forecast shows a projected decline in daily cases and hospitalizations through late September. A modeling report estimates an average of 830 daily cases and 41 hospitalizations between September 22nd and October 5th. The OHA said that the projection was based on the lowest point of transmission. The report provided an alternative scenario taking into consideration the impacts of reopening schools and scheduled public events during the next month. In that scenario, there is an estimated average of 1,060 daily cases and 51 hospitalizations over the same two-week period. Sheesh. Mm. There are 1,002 people with coronavirus in hospitals across the state, which is 25 fewer than the previous week. There are 287 people with coronavirus in intensive care unit beds, which is one more than last Thursday. The OHA said there are 58 available adult ICU beds out of 658 total, which is 9% availability, and 369 adult non-ICU beds out of 4,246, a 9% availability. Health officials ask that you do not visit an emergency department for COVID-19 testing unless your symptoms require emergency care. As of September 17th, 2,698,924 people in Oregon have had at least one vaccine dose, and 2,458,176 people have completed a vaccine series. The 7-day running average is now 8,535 doses per day.
Ooh. I mean, it's encouraging that the vaccine numbers are going up. I just need people to stop paying for fake vaccine cards and get paid to get the vaccine.
Or stay in the house.
That's the other part, because you could do that. Yeah. Like, you know, Ken, thank you very much. Thank you for always bringing in that option. If you don't want to get vaccinated, stay in the house.
Just don't go to the places where they're asking for you to be vaccinated to be.
Right.
Like, I'm sure there's a compound somewhere in central southern Oregon.
Mm.
Lots of like-minded individuals.
Facts. That's a really good way to just really look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, don't know. Don't get vaccinated. Also, don't go to places that require you to show proof of vaccination. Break that fake card out, right? Argue, break out the fake card, pull your mask down and yell at people's faces. You know.
To explain further.
I really do hope, get this thing together. Again, everyone wants to return to being outside and everything just being wide open. And we don't want to wear a mask. Get vaccinated. Let's just do it.
The data actually supports the opposite of most of your reasons for not getting vaxxed. Like data that came from actual research that people did that do research, like actual research that has to be reviewed and tested and stuff.
I saw a picture. with Swizz and Busta and a couple other people in it. And it's like anytime I see Busta, anytime I hear his name, read his name, come across the song, like first thing pops in my head is that, you know, foolishness that he said on stage. And I'm looking at him in this photo, like these places where you are, you have to be vaccinated. So you are vaccinated, or at least you're presenting a fake card. Mm. Regardless of the fact, you going up on stage telling people don't listen to the government, don't wear no masks, and like, bruh.
The amount of people that are telling people to not do a thing that they've done the thing,
right,
keeps being kind of interesting. Mm. As we just talked about Mrs. Minaj. Very interesting.
I think we're starting to see something here. Because that's behavior of Republican leadership. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Trump was anti-vax, anti-mask, out here all the way vaxxed up.
Vaxxed.
You know?
Not waxed.
His family member vaxxed up. Fox News leadership and anchors vaxxed up. But y'all telling people don't trust the vaccine. And, you know, masking is against your civil rights. And so now we're starting to see black celebrities. Might they be voting Republican? Because if your finances hit a certain, you know, like, your views kind of, you're looking for those tax rates, things kind of change a little bit for you.
It's getting a little tricky and mixy as we close out the summer. Make sure you all check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. again as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run Up the Numbers, hosted by Ken Jones and DJ Ambush. Music by Steve.
Look at you, wow. Oh, it's so pretty.
With the Mick Lovin.
I'm glad when there's moments where like that, where you know exactly what that was, and it just